Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty good, William. We don't got no Fick this week. I don't know. I try to call his ass. I don't know where he is.
He's being Flake.
He's being Flake. That's right. Mm-hmm. So I don't. We'll get Fick on next time. He's still getting things situated up in New York. Anyway, William Miller. What are we going to talk about? What are we talking about?
You're so dumb.
Lucas, make us sound good. Yeah, I guess we're not doing a battle, so...
No battle today. I forgot to bring my laptop. Everything got set up in my house, and it's a pain to tear it down. So when I get my laptop here and we have the computational capacity...
We had such a good battle last time. Yeah. That, like, I think we need to chill out for a week.
We do.
All right, and this is your gaming news for July 16th, 2008.
Blake, this is going to be kind of, I don't know, a sort of a bonk show in terms of news. I mean, we were looking over the news earlier, Blake and I were, and it's a little hard to get news the day before E3.
I think E3 is tomorrow. I like how we don't really know.
We don't know.
I think it's either tomorrow or next. I think it's tomorrow. Why don't I know this? I'm going with tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. it is tomorrow.
But yeah, all of our news is kind of speculation. It would be stupid to comment on speculation when by the time it comes out, the speculation will already be proven. So we're not really going to talk. We're going to talk about some less mainstream stories.
So we're sort of going to shoot from the hip today and see what happens.
Unlike most of the time where it's all very well prepared and researched.
So to get things started off, Zap Brannigan has left us some news. Blake Buck, why don't you go ahead and read that title there?
PlayStation Network firmware updates to 2.4.0 brick some PS3s, and some has subsequently been pulled, and Sony has subsequently pulled servers faster than Blake Buck pulls out of a woman because he bricks women.
Who then have to take a morning after Octomac. As we all know, they cause abortions, a proven form of birth control.
I like how my dick bricks women. Like, they don't turn on after that. They just sit there.
That's terrible. All right, moving on. What we got for news, Blake Buck?
So it says, when Sony launches firmware update 2.4.0, which has added the clock in the menus, and finally the in-game XMB, which is like the Xbox Media Cross, or what is it? I don't know, X Media
Bridge
Bar
or something.
I don't know. It added trophies, which is the achievements ripoff for the Xbox 360. And on July 2nd, it was quickly removed as some of it... Well, I'll just summarize this. Some of them tapes got broke. Some of them PlayStation tapes got broke. So we said, we got to turn this off. But it should be coming. Probably with E3, I think they've actually fixed it. But probably with E3, they're going to come with some more announcements about trophies and stuff and kind of demystify this whole thing for us a little bit.
Hmm. Zach Brannigan also notes that his PS3 is just fine.
Yeah, my brother also. He did the update, and his was fine, so... I don't know. It's probably not as big of a deal as trying to make it to be. Anyway, so, the new one's out now, he says here. So, go and get your new tape, and probably around E3, we'll have some more updates for you on that department. All right. Next up in the news, let's talk about what we got, William Miller.
All right.
I can't see too good.
I'm going to sort of, mention these next two things. And oh, my God. Can you make any more
Dude,
noise?
You're so fat. Move out of my goddamn way.
Clean it up.
Gosh darn way.
There we go. All right. We're gonna blaze through these first couple. We're just sort of reading off GameSpot here, but these might be debunked after E3. 60 gigabyte Xbox 360 official, 20 gigabyte discounted and discontinued. So, Blake, what do you think about
20 gigs gone? They're now replacing it with the 60 gig. So you know, if you've been waiting on an Xbox and you really didn't want to buy the hard drive, you now get a 20 gig for pretty much the same price as no hard drive. And I'm hoping this is all the precursor to them lowering the price of that goddamn hard
drive. How much is that?
That gosh darn hard drive.
How much is that hard drive, Blake?
It's like, I think it's like 180. It's insane for a 200, or isn't it 200 gigs?
Yeah.
$180. That's almost the price of a new Xbox. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to pay that. So hopefully I'll be able to get a cheaper tape come next week.
Get a cheaper tape. Also boarding on the ridiculous. Next Halo squad-based game would be Master Chief free. Again, another scrap from the rumor mill here. And, you know, that's funny to me because Master Chief was just a faceless automaton. He had no personality at all. And, he had the voice of what's his name. What's that guy's name?
You want to say David Hayter.
I want to say David Hayter. It's not David Hayter?
No.
Okay.
I don't think, is it?
I don't know. Somebody look that up for us. Anyway, this, I don't know. Halo dumb. Next.
Dumb. Yeah, who cares? Look. Look, I hate Halo so much. Any Halo news that comes up, oh shit, that, who cares?
Clean it up.
Screw that, who cares? Rockman 2 getting symbolized. I'm a journalist. GI reports that Harmonix drum kit will feature a crash, ride, and hi-hat add-ons featuring Ion's partnership for LE real instrument conversions. To sum this up, the new Rockman 2, since they already got your sticks out there, you know, and if you want the regular sticks, that's fine. You can go get them. But if you want premium sticks, Rock Band 2 is going to have them.
Sticks meaning, sticks is a generic noun for all controllers.
Right, all controllers.
As tapes are games, sticks are controllers.
A GS for Game Informer. The new drum kit will have more than just a velocity. It will have more than just a squishy, velocity-sensitive pad. It'll also retain the four-button setup of its predecessor. Drumming enthusiasts will be able to purchase an additional cymbal pack. That includes a crash, ride, hi-hat that can be plugged into the new kit and with associated existing colors. The cymbal pack will plug in directly to the expansion block. Rock Band's original drum set will remain compatible with the follow-up. Now, that's cool.
That is pretty cool. So we won't have to spend extra cash.
Especially considering most of my drums are broke.
Now, here's what I understand, Blake Buck. You got all these extra buttons on your sticks.
Right.
But you only got five colors.
Yeah. No, that's what
I don't
just
understand.
Said. They're just going to be like extra. Like, all right, so... Let's say you know, like a yellow comes up. Well, instead of hitting your yellow, how about I hit my cymbal that's yellow?
Oh, I see. Well, is it going to change the music?
I'm glad this is happening. Well, I mean, because then they'd have to change it. But it's not. It's probably just an aesthetic thing.
You think so? You don't think it'll change the actual, like...
Maybe in Rock Band 2, but certainly Rock Band 1, it would not.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine it would do that in Rock Band. Is this really worth it? Is this? I mean, look, the drums look hella. They look nicely built.
It's worth
all that.
It to me because I can fix my broke drum, you know. I can remap the broke one to a cymbal or something.
That's true.
So, I don't know. They got new stuff coming up. Rock Band 2, I'm not as... See, here's my problem with Rock Band. I played the mess out of Rock Band for like 3 months in a row. And like now, I'm so done with it. You know, it's like, I'm not even excited about Rock Band 2 at all.
You know, I have a sickening feeling that Harmonix is just going to be making the same game for another 4 years. I mean, granted, I'm sure they've got some stuff up the pipe.
That's what they've been doing. I mean, look at, what was that game? Amplitude Frequency. I mean, it's 90% the same thing as Rock Band anyway.
That's right.
I mean, they've been making the same game for 10 years now. Don't give me that, oh, I hope it's not another 5 years. It's been the same shit. In fact, there's no originality anywhere in the gaming industry. We're about to get to that.
We're gonna have a discussion on that, but we'll get to that in a bit. What's next, Blake Buck?
Mario, I click back. You can't go so fast. My browser's got to load. Sony says they do not have any plans for a PlayStation 3 price cut. When we're on the edge of E3, it seems people are speculating. Oh, I'm gonna give me a cheap tape.
Oh, she naked.
But they CFO Nobuyuki Oneda says the Japanese electronics giants has no plans to counter Microsoft's $50 discounting of the Xbox 360 Pro. So, I mean, this makes sense to me. That it's like they're riding high with Metal Gear. You know, they got that new bundle out. That's almost like a price cut include. Because damn, every single person who owns a PlayStation 3 is buying Metal Gear.
They're going to buy Metal Gear.
So that's pretty much like the equivalent of a $60 price cut in and of itself. So... I'm not really surprised they're going to drop it. I bet maybe by Christmas we might see a slight drop, but that's questionable at best because they're losing mountains of money on the PlayStation 3.
Now, Blake Buck and I have started a new tradition as of today where we go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, we buy the Beast breakfast meal, and we discuss our E3 predictions. Now, one of our E3 predictions was, in fact, that the PS3 would remain steady and we would see some kind of Xbox 360 price cut. You know, I don't think they're being quite as profitable as they should be. They're not making up a whole lot of money with game sales, so they have to keep the price of the console pretty high.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Executive Nobuyuki Oneda says, our strategy is not to sell more quantity for PS3, but to concentrate on profitability. So, there you go. That's definitive. Not going to happen. Not even a rumor.
That means William Miller's not going to get one. Also, another Rock Band related news, Konami sues Viacom over patents.
Now, I don't understand. Okay. Now, there was some, like, Activision. Didn't Activision sue Harmonix? And now Konami is suing Viacom, like, over these peripherals, right?
I think so.
So, but what is this one about?
So,
entertaining radio is incredibly difficult to produce. Luckily, when your concentration is not interrupted, it can flow out of your mouth, much like a faucet of knowledge. However, sometimes there's interruptions, dear listeners.
Like the one that just walked in.
What you want?
She went upstairs.
Oh.
Anyway, so as we all know,
she's gonna see all my porn up there.
Oh, she's gonna see all your all your porn. Konami made some rhythm matching games that had a guitar peripheral, and right. they were pretty popular in Japan. I think Guitar Freaks.
Yeah,
Guitar Freaks, and I think it was just a matter of time before they sued makers of the wildly successful Rock Band.
Well, look, here's what
franchise.
I don't understand. I mean, okay, we talked about this a minute ago, William. Like, they had the successful franchise, but it was nobody liked it. You know, I mean,
it was really popular.
It's popular in Japan, but it wasn't really mainstream, right? Mm-hmm. And they kind of fell by the wayside. They didn't put out any games, certainly in the U.S. I think they even stopped putting games out in Japan for a while. Like, the series
I don't know. That box is pretty popular over there.
Was it? But I'm talking about, like, right when Guitar Hero came out, like, well, about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think they had had a Guitar Freaks game in a few years at that point. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, they also had, like, Beat Mania. That's mm-hmm. another one. They have a patent for rhythm matching video games. It's a real general patent, from what I understand.
How can you get a patent for what? That's like it's like. Then again, there is a patent for video games, is there not? Like,
I don't know.
Of every sale goes to like some dude who has the patent.
Maybe Ralph Baer decided to patent video game on a screen, but nobody pays attention to that. See, I don't know. Blake Buck and I have devised a new venture, a new entrepreneurial venture. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with all these awesome ideas because we're good at that. And then we're going to
a machine that dispenses butter, like on the street.
On the street.
So I'm like, I need some butter on my shoes. Done.
So we're going to take all of these ideas and we're going to patent them all. And we're just going to sit on the patents. We're not going to make them. No. And somebody's going to make one of these glorious inventions and we're going to sue them and make a gajillion dollars. I think this is ridiculous.
This is pretty stupid. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the nature of the industry is to, you know, copy and build upon what's already happened. So I don't think that these lawsuits help. But at the same time, the Rock Band is incredibly derivative of Guitar Freaks.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know. Give them half.
That's your solution?
That's my lawyer answer. Whatever they want, just give them half, and we'll call it even.
I don't know. I think they need a consolation prize for honorable mention.
Oh, my God. Do you know how many? They have 10 million song downloads. 10 million song downloads for Rock Band.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
That's ridiculous.
It's the new publishing platform. Publishing platform for music.
Oh, look, I don't care about any downloadable content until either A, Freebird, or B, China Grove is put on the marketplace. So when you get one of them, you call me up.
Now, speaking of China Grove, Blake Buck, that new Guitar Hero tape for DS is out. What do you think about that?
Dude, didn't I tell you this? No, I told you this earlier today. I was looking on YouTube. China Grove is on the Guitar Hero.
That's why I mentioned it.
Handheld. Oh my God! That like I wouldn't plan on buying it, but now that like my favorite Doobie Brothers song of all time. Oh, I don't know.
Somebody write us in and tell us if it's bonk or not.
Well, see the reviews have been kind of like some have been like, oh well, considering it's Guitar Hero on a handheld, it's pretty good. While others are like Guitar Hero on a handheld, sucks ass. So I don't know.
Okay, so William Miller, he bought a new tape.
Okay.
Recently, he bought a new tape for his DS. It's that new Final Fantasy Tactics A2 tape. Now, I've been playing this tape. I told Blake Buck this morning. I logged 6 hours on this tape. Now, that might seem minuscule to you listeners out there, but that's probably the first time William Miller sat down and played a game for more than 20 minutes in about 10 years. I mean, this game is pretty good, I must admit. And a new game has just come out for, well, new old game has just come out for DS also. Final Fantasy IV, the 3D remake. I'm stoked. I'm ready for it.
I'm so done with these. When they gonna make 6, son? That's 3 US. When they gonna make that?
Now,
that's all I want.
Now, I'll explain. So here's what they gonna do. Now, 6 is a seminal classic, just like Chrono Trigger is. Now, they've redone all of the subsequent Final Fantasy games in 3D on the DS, but when Chrono Trigger was announced for the DS, it said that it's going to be pretty much the same game, the same art. And they're going to make some refinements to it to fit better on the DS platform, use the dual screen and all that. But for the most part, they stick pretty true to the masterpiece. And I think that's what they're going to do with 6.
Look, I want the remake. I want the 3D. I want all that jazz. Where is that? What?
I don't think most people want that. See, like, Final Fantasy IV had a pretty niche following, I would say, compared to VI. When VI was released to the States, it had a very wide acceptance.
Think of who you're trying to sell this game to on the DS, all right? It's not hardcore gamers from 10 years ago. I mean, okay, maybe there's a portion of that. Hell, not even 10, it's almost, what, 20 now? 15 years ago. I mean, I think they're trying to sell games to more mainstream people, and if you want to do that, you don't give them sprites. You give them 3D shapes that them kids be playing all the time.
Now, speaking of them 3D shapes, another thing we were talking about over chicken this morning was the new Mega Man game. Now, let me break this down for y'all. Now, Mega Man is a wide and varied franchise, very complicated franchise. We've got lots of different branches. We got X. We got Advent. We got Battle, whatever.
There's like Maverick Hunter.
Well, there's all kinds of ones.
There's a whole bunch of them.
But the core series, Mega Man 1 through 8, hasn't seen a new edition until now. Well, now, 1 through 7...
though, were NES. 8 was on PlayStation 1.
That's right. And 9 is going to be on WiiWare and will be back on the NES. Totally old school graphics, old school sound. Everything's old school. Now, there're going to be some new mechanics, obviously, and there's going to be a woman in it. Now, you remember all the villains in Mega Man always were mans. And now we got a woman.
Something man.
Something
cut
man.
Man.
Exactly.
Punch. What's it going to be like
I think it's like Splash Woman or something. Like that. I don't know.
Well, women's lib has finally paid off.
You have a boss in Mega Man. Congratulations.
One of 8. One of the 8 heats.
But anyway, I'm really stoked about this tape. I don't even have a Wii, but I'm going to buy it on Blake's Wii, and I'm going to play the hell out of it. It's going to be awesome.
I cannot get comfortable. Speaking of Square and them boo-boo tapes you play, Square Enix brings RPG Smorgasbord to E3. Japanese publisher announces an exhibition lineup includes Last Remnant, Star Ocean, Infinite Undiscovery, but no current-gen Final Fantasy 13. What's this? Square seems to be rather comfortable with re-releasing old titles instead of putting out new ones. Oh my God! Let's not forget the
iPod game they're coming out with.
Oh,
come on now, son. That could be cool.
Look. I'm not sold on this iPod as a game platform, the iPhone as a game platform thing yet.
I think you are retarded.
Not yet. All right. Now, look, I made a trailer for 2 iPhone games already. I understand they're out there, but I'm not sold yet.
Look, the App Store was just released yesterday or day before yesterday. It remains to be seen what's
going
to...
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
we got to give it some time to see where it's really going to go.
But, I mean, the market is saturated with these devices. I mean, probably 80% of the people using the internet on their phone are using iPhones. Everybody's got an iPhone. I think it's got a distribution model already in place that everybody's used to using. It's perfect.
I think that the iPhone is really going to change 5 years from now. It's going to change handheld gaming, is what I think. It's not going to happen overnight, but like I don't even think DS and PS3 are going to be able to compete because everything's. I mean, you look at the PlayStation Portable. You can now the Skype. Mm-hmm. You know, it plays. I mean, it seems like every piece of handheld technology is converging into one device.
Yeah, I think iPhone. I think the next iterations of the PSP and the Nintendo DS are going to be more iPhone-esque, or Apple will buy Nintendo.
You keep saying this like it's going to happen.
I think they're a perfect fit.
I don't know about that.
Their devices are very similar. They have a very similar approach. Now, granted, one is like
that's a big
old Japanese company.
No, Yamuchi retired. Damn, Yamuchi would be rolling over in his early grave if he knew Apple was
some hippie bought his company.
I mean, it's not even dead. He would still roll over in his grave. Dude, he would just go and bitch slap Steve Jobs.
I don't know. Steve
Jobs comes up, arigato gozaimasu.
Clack!
He hits him with a fan. Or his samurai sword, one of the two. So maybe that'll happen, but I think definitely the next 5 years, handheld gaming is going to have a big shift. Now, I don't think it's going to... See, everybody's like, oh, iPhone game. Go throw your DS away. We got iPhone games now. It's not going to happen instantly. But in the next 5 years, I think everything's going to just become... Kind of like, DVD players and Xboxes a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Now,
it's ubiquitous.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, or even if you go the other side, consoles are becoming more, you know, what's it like... It's sort of like, you know, Xbox plays TV now. does your DVDs, plays your games. You can get on PlayStation, gets on the internet. So everything's converging into one. I think we're going to see that both in the console and the handheld.
Well, what I'm really excited about is the prospect of sort of the social networking connectivity aspects of the iPhone.
2.0.
Well, yeah, that kind of thing.
Web
8.0. Web
8.0. So stupid.
Well, I mean, think about it. It's so easy to take one of the iPhone's features, for instance. In the API, you can make a single function call to determine where you are in the world. You can also find out where all of your friends are in the world.
Okay.
And think about how cool it would be to make a game that just used that feature somehow.
Okay.
I know Blake Buck is in his house. And I'm in my house.
The
strength of my cut could be relative to the distance between the two of us. I mean, stuff like that. Like, there's this vast, untapped
metagame
kind of thing. Not even a metagame. Direct mechanics in your game that could be socially aware.
Well, I would like to present to you the point counterpoint of social networking, William Miller.
You don't have any friends.
Point. No. No, it's actually the opposite. Point. I get on my Xbox. I can see what my friends are playing and talk to them, chat, invite them to play games, and have a good time. Counterpoint. For the past 10 days, this dude has been sending me a message on Xbox Live. It says, Team Blake Dumb, Blake Dumb, Blake Dumb. Oh, no, wait, is it Blake Smart? I can't even remember what he's saying. I think he's on Team Blake Smart. But for the past 10 days, he's been sending me messages, trying to remind me.
Well, I mean, you always have things like that, little anecdotal hiccups in the whole idea. But there's this whole, there's massively multiplayer, that's one thing. But there's there's massively social.
Oh, my God. Why don't you give me a keynote, William Miller? Stand up there and tell me how the future's going to be different.
Look.
Oh, I'm going to fucking...
Look, I'm going to patent this, and I'm going to sit on it. And somebody's going to make it, and I'm going to make $1 million. You watch.
Here's William Miller's patent form. Social game dynamics.
Done.
Play Friends, Web 8.0, the future. Hyphen William Miller. And then, like, the patent office, like, all right.
Okay.
All right.
I'll squiggle a little picture.
Yeah.
With some, like, notes on it.
It's got a picture of the Earth. There's a stick man that says Blake. Stick man on the other side says Miller. And then, like, some lines connecting the two of them. Welcome to the future.
We have our tapes in our hands. Anyway. I think iPhone is going to be cool. I already got AIM for it, although I'm still trying to figure out how it works. I don't know. I've been waiting for a good AIM client for my iPhone for forever. I don't know if this is it or not. But anyway, I'm ready.
All right. So anyway, getting back to the point. I guess actually we need to go into a different point. Square is releasing has all these games coming up at E3, but they're all re-releases of older games. If you remember back in the PlayStation 1 era, what happened? They released Final Fantasy VII. 2 years later, Final Fantasy VIII. Another year later, Final Fantasy IX, right? I mean, they had new IPs, and they were all original. I mean, sure, that there was, okay, Moogles, Chocobos, but they were all original IPs, all again. Well, then again, I guess Final Fantasy is not really... But
well,
compared to now, in name and mechanic only.
I mean,
but compared to now, where we've seen how many different spinoffs of Final Fantasy VII at this point?
A lot.
Like, I'm playing Crisis Core, and I'm like, I don't know who any of these characters are, and I don't give a shit.
I heard that game is pretty good.
It might be. I turned it on for 10 minutes. I didn't know who was this guy. Like, I'm supposed to know. I don't remember anything from Final Fantasy VII. Because guess what? I played more than one game in my life. Sorry, Square. I hadn't been playing it like these fanboy assholes since 1997 or whatever. All right, now it's time for releases.
All right, we have, speaking of franchises, we have NCAA Football 09 for Xbox 360, PS3, Wii, PS2, PSP, you play football. Done.
This is always one of the biggest sellers year-round, so I'm sure this year will be no different. There's like a countdown on my Xbox. You know, like you turn those ads, come on, it's like, only 3 more days, Blake. you better hold on to your butt.
We also got City Life 2008 Edition for PC. Blake, you were telling me this is sort of a cheap knockoff of SimCity.
Yeah,
the Sims.
Yeah, it's like a SimCity knockoff. And we're looking at GameStop here. It has a five. Which is... pretty much anything below a 6 or anything below a 7 in the world of gaming is like shit.
It even has the word mediocre written under the number.
Not mediocre. And I'm telling you, like, the gaming industry is so stupid because we lose like a third of the scale.
Yeah.
It goes from 7 to 10.
Unless it's like Big Rigs or something crazy like that. There are only a few games that have ever used the bottom.
Yeah, and it's rare for a game to get below 7 any site.
We also got Golden Horde for PC. Take charge of one of three factions, Crusaders, Russians, or Mongolians, and vie for dominance in the 13th century Eurasia.
Next up, we got Deadliest Catch Alaskan Storm. Now, I went to GameStop the other day, and the dude at the counter was like, Blake, you got to check this mess out. And he said, I got the hottest game on the street right now. He pulled it up from behind the counter. It's on Xbox 360, Blake. Deadliest Catch Alaskan Storm. It's got a picture of a boat going through some waves. I guess you fish or something. He was like, we played this earlier today as a joke, and it still was painful. So don't buy this game.
I mean, what would you do in Deadliest Catch?
Catch? It's got the mechanic right there in the title. Catch.
Yeah, but that's not cut or shoot. What's that going to be?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, what's next up?
Oh, we got We Love Golf for Wii. We Love Golf delivers realistic golfing experience incorporating the Wii remote motion. Now, listen. My favorite Wii sports game is the golf game. I love that game.
Why do you like that one most?
Because it's all about fine-tuned muscle memory. It's like, you know, you practice your swing a couple times, you get the swing you want, and you got to replicate that exactly.
See, that's why I don't know if I would say golf is my favorite, but I definitely like it more than, like, most of those games are not skill-based. They're all luck.
Yeah, like if you play boxing, tennis, it's like hit hard.
The tennis, you're just flailing, like, and you're timing your flail. There's no real coordination to it.
But anyway, I want more golf. I want more courses. I want more little chibi mans.
Maybe this is for you then. All right, last one is for PS2. We're talking about B-Boy. Comes out July 15th. This hip-hop-themed dancing game will let you battle against real-life superstar B-Boys, such as Crazy Legs, Kaime, and, of course, Mouse.
I guess this is targeted at the young urban crowd.
The urban youths.
The urban youths. I hate this. This is How do games like this make any money, Blake Buck? I mean, you bought Get On to Mike, but who else did?
They only have to sell, like, two copies to make money.
That's true, I guess.
So, they when you aim low, you don't have to succeed very much. All right, that's it for releases. Oh, now it's time for the judgment.
All right, so I'll tell the story. I guess I'll tell... Okay, so Blake Buck and I are in Walmart. Looking for tapes.
It's Friday night.
It's Friday night.
We've been drinking. We need some excitement.
So we were in Walmart. We were in the movie section. We pick up
We were looking for Boogie Nights.
We were looking for Boogie Nights.
You
want to
see that dick at the end of that movie. At least I did.
And so we're in the movie section. We pick up a movie, and we both think, this is dumb. So I instinctively reach to grab it from him and throw it.
Oh, okay. Wait, no. You're not doing this justice. We found some. I was looking at some. I don't even remember what the movie was. It was like a.
It was the Indiana Jones box set.
No. We found that later. Because okay. You suck at telling stories. I think it was like a, I don't know, like Fool's Gold or something. Just some like romantic comedy. So I was looking at the back, right, and then I kind of like sat there for a minute because I was like, I'm done with this. So I went to like just throw it at the rack, not even replace it in the rack. I threw it at the rack. But at the same time that I did that, William Miller had the exact same thought as me and tried to grab it and throw it at the rack at the same time. So it ended up, we just like, it was a flurry of hands and the tape ended up on the floor. And we just turned around and walked away. Anyway, so then we saw Indiana Jones and we're like, well, we're already drunk. So let's buy Indiana Jones and go watch it at my house.
Right.
But then we're like, wait a minute, what's that gleaming in the corner of my eye over there as I look towards the game section? I see Unreal Tournament 3.
Now, Blake Buck was sort of hesitant to buy this game, but luckily I had my iPhone, and I'm an iPhone douche. I whipped it out, and we got the reviews first, and then we saw split-screen multiplayer.
Oh, and it was done. Decided.
Now, I don't even think the PS3 version has that, does
it? No, only the Xbox has split-screen.
How retarded is that?
So to review this game, if you don't know what Unreal Tournament is, if you ever played Quake 3, kind of like that, except Unreal Tournament was first. But anyway, it's basically, they have a bunch of, you're a big man with some big guns. You go around with the guns and you shoot other dudes. And they have like deathmatch where you play, you know, 16 people versus each other, up to 16. Or you can play like these warfare modes where you go around like, you know, trying to get these nodes. So there's a bunch of different modes. The graphics are amazing. It's got lots of gun. The game moves incredibly fast.
It's a fast game.
I mean, you hit the ground. It's like, okay, what was some game I was playing? I don't remember what it was. Oh, Rainbow Six. Your dude moves so slow because it's supposed to be real. This game, your dude moves light speed all the time. So it's super fast, super intense action. The graphics are awesome. Like, if you're into this kind of game at all, I would definitely recommend
it. It's pretty sweet. So the funny thing to me that Blake and I were talking about this. One of the funny things to me is that we had Unreal Tournament, Mm-hmm. Unreal Tournament 2. Yeah. Unreal Tournament 2003.
2004. And then 2007.
And now, boop, Unreal Tournament 3. We fixed that.
We fixed our broke number system. So, I like it. They've given it an overhaul. They kind of, like, they've really streamlined, you know, like, the weapons. There aren't quite as many as there used to be.
I like if you click the stick, the right stick, it just equips your best weapon.
Best gun.
Best gun. Awesome. Perfect.
So, it's very viscerally intense. Again, the graphics are amazing. It's from Epic, same guys who did Gears of War, in case you don't know. And it's even got a preview of Gears of War 2 on there, this exclusive video. It's pretty hot.
It is pretty hot. Even though Cliffy B is talking for a little bit.
He is a douche, but he's not there long.
No. That game looks hot. I'm serious.
Gears of War 2 is going to be hot. So, look, it's real simple. If you like shooting dudes, I mean, we don't even need to pitch this to you. You like shooting mans and watching them explode. Go buy this game right now.
Now, the one thing that...
It's probably not going to drop in price, so you might as well buy it now.
You might as well buy it now. The one thing I did not like about this game, there's one feature I hate, and that is the play dead feature.
Oh, yeah, you can press down on the D-pad to feign death.
So now, William Miller, right? He is absolutely inept at controlling anything on the Xbox. He mashes buttons, beats the controller against his face, and I feign dead on accident more times than I could count.
Why are you mashing the D-pad? That's not how you move.
My thumbs, right, they're pressing down real hard. They're ready to go. I'm just playing Burnout, okay?
Whenever William Miller plays Burnout, he picks up his controller with both hands, takes both analog sticks, and just clicks them forward and, like, extends his arms as close as he can to the screen. That's how you play Burnout. Like, stick is your right tire, and left stick is your left tire.
That's as fast as you can go. Also, you can increase the speed by extending your arms.
Yeah, the further out your arms are, the faster your car goes.
So anyway, Unreal Tournament 3, big thumbs up. That's for 360, PS3, and PC.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, I mean, we didn't even need to review this. You already know what Unreal Tournament is, and you already know if you're going to like it. So
it's awesome.
The only thing that's bad about if you're debating on what system to get it on, though the Xbox does have split screen, which is like the huge seller for me. It doesn't have the downloadable. Like on the PlayStation 3, you can download like mods and stuff to like a memory card, put it in, and play them on the PS3. You can't do that on. They're going to be released. I bet they're going to release downloadable content that's going to cost money and stuff on the marketplace. But comes with the Microsoft territory, I guess. But I can live with that because who has time? I don't have time to go look up like, oh, let me go find some mutators and all that. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. That cat box smells like butt. Oh.
Thanks, Will. Dude, I'm so used to
it. I just associate Blake's house now with the smell of ammonia and cat litter. Like, I walk in, I get this big waft of shit that hits my face. Ugh, gross.
Shut up.
Clean that shit.
So, Unreal Tournament, go buy it. Done. All right, now it's time for the jank of the week.
All right. Now, this jank was inspired by an activity my friends in college like to participate in. Now, we like to get games and pretend they're real. So one of our favorite games to do this with was wrestling. So we love wrestling. So we get wrestling tape, and we would
make your own mans,
and we come up with backstories for our mans, and we would have wrestling matches and drink beer and pretend it was real. It was the most fun. You could also do this with Madden. We did this with Madden tape as well. But this is a lot of fun. So the jank of the week is WWE SmackDown versus Raw 2007.
So basically, this game. Look, you don't need to know anything. Again, this is another one. It's got all your favorite wrestlers, or as they call them, superstars. But there's more to this game than just playing it. First, you got to buy a whole case of High Life.
The champagne of beers.
Put them in your cooler, right? Then once they're good and cold, you've had about three or four, you fire up this tape, and you play that Money in the Bank ladder match.
I said we played Money in the Bank. It lasted an hour.
Yeah.
Literally.
It takes forever because you can never set up the ladder and get up there.
And a damn CPU won.
Has that CPU ever not won? Oh, my God. Because it's seven mans all trying to battle for that case that's got $1 million in it.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know the semantics here, the ladder match, it works like this. There is a briefcase suspended above the arena with $1 million in it. And the first person to get it gets to use that $1 million to pay for a title match anytime he wants.
Yeah.
And but you have to climb up on ladders to get it.
But it's not that easy because there are six other wrestlers ready to own the whole time. Beating, oh my god. Like, you got the super move, the super kick.
Super kick. Our friend JB was just devastating us with the super kick. Super kick. I love that whole notion. What is my super move going to be called? Super kick. What does it do? I kick you in the face. Done. Oh, I stomp three times first.
I stomp three times, then I kick you in the face. That is, because he could just kick you in the face at any time. You know, but when he does the three stomps, oh, it's charged up.
It's charged up. That's right. Anyway, this game is a lot of fun.
Just so we can clarify, it's one of those things where we don't actually like wrestling, but it's so stupid that it becomes fun again.
Yes, that's right. So we have the latest WrestleMania on DivX.
Yeah.
We watch that sometimes. It's gold, all of it. Now, this game is not for you if you appreciate, like, actual fighting games, along with Street Fighter and all that.
If you play this game and you're like, ooh, well, the fighting mechanics are... No, you are clearly missing the point.
No, because the fact of the matter is, just as it is in real wrestling, you spend most of the time pretending like you're hurt. And that's the same as it is in the game. You sort of stagger around trying to catch your breath before you can do a move. It's kind of slow when you compare it to other fighting games, but it's still pretty good if you like wrestling, or if you like wrestling in the ironic context that we do with the BDP.
All right, the next tank of the week we got, this is a real quick one, Soul Calibur 3, $10 at GameStop.
Is that what Izzy was playing yesterday?
Yeah.
All right.
So Soul Calibur 3 is, the thing is, I played Soul Calibur 1 and loved it, played 2 and loved it, but 3 only came out on PlayStation, and I wasn't really into PlayStation, I never bought, but it's not bad, it's a pretty good game. So if you got PlayStation, go pick it up. Soul Calibur 4 comes out at the end of the month. So
that's the one that's got that jank like strategy mode in it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's got some weird some weird spin-off modes, but it's all right. It's still good. And plus now I'm all set for 4, baby. 4's coming out at the end of the month. It's going to have Yoda in it. That's so stupid.
And Darth Vader, right?
And Darth, but he's only a PlayStation version.
Oh.
Now it's time for the what is next? Oh, wait, Spawn has a jank for us here. All right, it says Gamefly pre-play deals. So these are games you can buy from Gamefly, which is the it's kind of like Netflix for games. But not only can you sign up and get them to send you games, but you can buy them pre-owned. But they don't come with a box, I don't think. They don't come with instructions. But you do. I mean, you get the tape, so that's all you need. A Mass Effect for $20, Assassin's Creed for $18, Burnout Paradise for $20, BioShock for $25, and Devil May Cry 4 for $20. Those are all relatively new and pretty good games for dirt cheap prices.
That's right. But remember all you listeners out there, if you buy used games, the developers get no money. If you want to support the developer, buy a new game.
Dude, sometimes you got to make hard decisions.
Look, baby. Okay. Look, baby. That's my paycheck you're talking about, son. You better buy that new game, son.
All right, now it's time for the discussion. All right, William Miller. We got to have our discussion, because we were talking about this on the way over here. We got to talk about IP and me.
Now, the first thing, we probably agree. There just happen to be some IPs that I like.
Okay, let's talk, what is an intellectual property? IP is intellectual property. What is that, William Miller, in the context of video games?
Well, that's, an intellectual property can mean a lot of things, but in the terms of games, it means your franchisable material. So
right.
Things like characters and...
Or series.
Series, yeah.
For instance, what are the strongest franchises in gaming right now?
Madden.
Halo, Madden, Grand Theft Auto, certainly now.
Right.
Mario. Zelda to an extent.
Yep.
Even some more obscure
Metal
stuff.
Metal Gear
like,
Solid.
You know, Metal Gear Solid. I was thinking maybe like Ratchet and Clank is even a pretty good IP. So so these are all, let's talk about Ratchet and Clank.
All right.
Since it's a little more obscure, it'll be easier to make an example. If Ratchet and Clank were to come out with an absolute, like, terrible game, awful, 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 everybody hated it, it would still sell a decent amount of copies just because it's the new Ratchet and Clank game.
Yeah, sort of the Halo effect. The other ones are pretty good, and it can cover the bad ones if, you know, they appear.
So what gaming in recent years specifically, though it's always been this way, but certainly in recent years it's become far more pronounced, as we've been getting sort of sequelitis, if you will. We're seeing less and less original titles and more, here's the next one, here's the next Halo, here's the next, I mean, like, even Prince of Persia, you know, which wasn't even that popular, had what? It had, like, 4 games, and now they're coming out with another one, you know, here a few years later.
That's right.
So, it seems that like the further we go on, and this is true with movies. Like, all right, so I was going to the movies the other day, and I saw a trailer for Indiana Jones, and then I saw a trailer for what's that? That new Clone Wars movie that's coming out, the Star Wars Clone Wars,
like the animated one.
Yeah, and I was thinking, man, Lucasfilm hasn't put out an original like movie since the mid-80s. They've been making the same movies. They've re-released Star Wars like 5 times. This is a new Indiana Jones movie. I mean, they haven't really put out anything new at all. And that's because if they were, it wouldn't sell as good.
I don't know. I think you're right. The as the amount of money we put into games increases, the risk to investors increases. Now, what mitigates risk, Blake Buck? Franchise.
Right.
So if you're a big hotshot investor, you know, or a publisher, you want to see franchise. That's right. That's the safest bet. So it's no surprise to me that we have, you know, 13 Final Fantasies and a kajillion Maddens.
Exactly. Well, Square, like, okay, if you look at, like, the PlayStation days.
Blake Bug just burped.
If you look at the PlayStation days, we had Final Fantasy VII 2 years later, Final Fantasy VIII 2 years, like, a year and a half later, Final Fantasy IX. I mean, it was bang, 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 bang. We got all these new, and they were all original.
Yeah.
Now it's, I mean, Final Fantasy XII came out, what, 3 years ago? And Final Fantasy XIII is still at least 2 years off. They hadn't even mentioned anything about it. So, I mean...
Yeah, plus all of the... if we speak in terms of the Final Fantasy franchise, all of it is sort of homogenized into one sort of amalgam.
Yeah.
It's this strange thing that, you know it when you see it. It's all kind of the same deal. I mean, Final Fantasy XII was a little bit different, but I don't know. Like, in the early days, they took a lot of risks with the franchise, especially Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, you know, moving away from the fantasy setting and making the jump to 3D and all
that
stuff. Look
at that. Final Fantasy VII, in my mind, is the biggest departure from the Final Fantasy series. Right. Rather than being set in the past, it was set in the future. The graphics were a totally different art style. It was the biggest risk they ever took and also was the best game and definitely the most profitable one. They're still making money off it today,
right?
Through Crisis Core, but developers are scared to do that because it's so much easier to take the easy road. Take the hey, let's make 10-2, let's make Final Fantasy 10-3, let's make 100 expansion packs for Final Fantasy 11, let's do Madden and add a new camera every year,
and more sweat.
I mean, not even WrestleMania can escape. I mean, 2008, pretty much the same thing as 2007.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm sure 2009, guess what? Not going to be that different from 2008. Because you don't have to. So, I was talking to you, like, anybody ever seen the movie Idiocracy? In the future, we're just going to have, like, 4 movies and 4 games. There's going to be, like, Rope Swing. There's going to be Big Breasts. That'll be... There'll be sports.
And butt farting.
And butt farting. Those will be the 4 original IPs we have. So, I don't know. How can we get developers to foster originality? I mean, look, even your favoritest of developers, William Miller, Civilization, Firaxis, they pretty much have been putting about Civilization games for the past 10 years. Now, okay, there was Pirates. There was maybe 1 or 2 other spinoffs. There's golf. There's Choo Choo Railroads.
Railroads.
Choo Choo Railroads. Sid Meier presents Choo Choo Railroads. But far and away, they've been just rehashing the same thing because that's what works. And, I mean, is that the easy road? Is Firaxis taking the easy road?
Well, I can't speak for Firaxis. I know that, you know, they have a lot of things that they're working on and a lot of different ideas and stuff. I mean, you have to change direction every once in a while. You have to come up with something new every once in a while.
But here's the thing. It seems like the industry now is less, what's the word I'm looking for? Less susceptible to change than it used to be.
Absolutely. I mean, again, we come back to the sort of your analogy with the film industry. You have sort of these genres of films, and I think you have genres of games too. But at the same time, you have a very healthy independent film sort of undercurrent community going on at the same time that is vibrant and that lots of cool things come out of. And every once in a while, you see one of these things break through to the other end. Right. That's the same kind of thing that happens.
So, I mean, I guess my problem is that we're seeing, but in the past years, we're seeing less and less breakthroughs on the developers on the studio side and more so now it's shifted to the independent side.
Absolutely. It's the burden is on the independent developers, as it is with the independent filmmakers.
It hasn't always been that way, though.
It has not. Well, because they were one and the same back in the day.
That's
before
true.
You have the publisher-developer system, you had people in their basement writing games and being creative. And now you have big publishers that crank out franchises, and then you have, you know, independent developers that sort of push games as an art form, or push games in terms of, you know, into different directions or whatever.
So in my mind, what's the number one way we're gonna be able to foster originality in the games industry? It's got to be marketing. You got to have money, or if not money to market, you've got to get. If you have an original idea, you have to convince people of it. You know, like. So often you'll see a game that's good and original, but it never gains any traction because it goes under the radar.
Mm.
So,
well, I think there's that.
You gotta get the word out. You gotta buy more. You listening? Go buy some more original games.
Seriously.
Don't be buying Madden every year. Go do something else.
I think also you need to have accessible tools. I mean, back in the day, if you wanted to make a game for, you know, PlayStation, it was impossible. You couldn't do it. Now, if you want to make a game for Xbox, it's $100 a year if you have an Xbox and a PC. I mean, it's super, super easy to do.
So, I mean, I guess it's not really a negative trend. It's just that one that's very different. And it has the potential to be negative, but it's really more diverging into two directions, the independent original titles and the mainstream, more franchise titles.
I think it's inevitable. It has to be that way. If there's money coming in, it has to be that way. Otherwise, people wouldn't take risks and fund any game development projects. And you have to mitigate the risk. Otherwise, you're not getting the money. So,
all right. I'm done with this.
I'm done with that. We're moving on to feedback.
Peace has been said. All right. We got some telephone calls on feedback today. Now, our first voicemail, I didn't quite understand, William Miller. It was a little bizarre. So, cause here, we'll just play it for you, and you can be the judge.
Hi, so it's Ronnie calling. I guess this is your house. There's music playing. just calling to let you know that I called. Just give me a call back. I want to know what we're doing today. Bye.
So obviously this is a wrong number, but you have to understand.
She was trying to call 845-BATTLE-6.
But she called 845-BATTLE-9. And she got our voicemail, which if you haven't heard it, it's just Battle, the music.
It plays Battle for a few seconds and then beeps.
So obviously she thought that was her friend's house because there was music playing.
All right.
Okay.
Excellent work. We should call her up sometime.
We'll call her back for Battle.
Nice voice. Hey, you guys. This is Tiger, also known as Joshua C. I was the one who completed the last Battle. And I just wanted to also tell you guys, I forgot to mention, after I left the store, Kohl's, what happened was we decided to do the Space Michael thing. So Publix is right down the street, probably like about a block or so.
Wait, so was he still wearing the Space Michael? I guess he was.
I hope so. I hope he was.
So my friends run into the car. I'm like, I'm running to Publix. Y'all use the car. I was running my ass down the plaza to Publix, and I heard people yell, and it sounded like they thought, like, I was stealing something. So, like, I just kept running. I didn't care, and I ran into Publix. We got the aluminum foil for Space Michael, and then we left. As we were leaving, we were pulling out of the parking lot. We saw three cops go toward Cole. And I was like, oh, no, I hope they didn't think I stole something. So, as a result of this battle, I am wanted for shoplifting. Well, I think it's that, but...
You were never welcome back in Kohl's again.
It might be just a coincidence. But anyway, just wanted to tell you guys you rock, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Excellent. I like that. I like that our battles get people in, you know... legal trouble.
That's good. We don't condone shoplifting, but we do condone
winning. The next battle, go shoplift from Kohl's. We do not condone shoplifting, but we do condone.
Dressed as Space Michael.
Next voicemail. Yeah, we get a lot of. We get some of these every now and then. Just I don't know. They get scared and they hear the music and they don't know what to do.
I am Keyshawn Fellows. I live in Eugene, Oregon, and I am prepared for battle. I accept your challenge.
Eugene, Oregon. Okay, now see, Now we had a problem with this voicemail because for some reason your telephone number didn't come through. Usually it does, but it said unknown number. So new rule: if you're applying via telephone for Battle, please give us your telephone number in case it doesn't show up in our voicemail software. So that means call back, whoever that was. All right.
see, some of our listeners are actually conditioned to respond to the battle music.
Then so, they just, like, ran outside.
They probably heard it and ran outside.
And ran away crying.
Right.
Hey, what the hell? Freaking Microsoft. Stupid Xbox Live points. Current balance. 460, this download 480. What the hell? I just bought some goddamn points a second ago and I downloaded something. I want to download something else. Oh, you need 20 more points, but you can't buy 20 points. You got to buy freaking 600 for like 20 bucks, whatever the hell it is. It's pointless. It's stupid. Screw you.
Now, see, I think I do, maybe not as ardently as you argued, but I do agree with you there that I think they should be a direct, like on the Wii's, what is it, you know, the download store.
Right.
It's like 100 points, $1.
Yep.
And you can buy whatever increments you want. Whereas, at least I think you can. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Whereas on Xbox, they come in, it's 100 is $1.25. So 20 points he needed was 25 cents. So he was 25 cents shy of what he needed. But he couldn't just buy 25 cents. You have to buy like $5 increments.
See,
that's how they get you.
Microsoft has set up the hot dog bun hot dog.
Oh, my God. I was sitting in the bathroom, and I was thinking, it's kind of like hot dogs and hot dog buns.
You always get, what, you always get 6 buns and 8 dogs.
Yeah.
So you got to buy either more buns or more dogs.
I think some of them, they come in the same, if you buy the right kind.
I know. Don't let Blake Buck buy hot dog. He gets into this sort of infinite loop. He just keeps buying. He doesn't understand to quit.
Huh? I guess I got to eat them. All right, next voicemail.
You know what? One more thing.
It's like, imagine he hung up the phone, right? And he kind of sat there for a minute, blowing off steam. He said, no, this ain't over. This ain't over. Pulls out the phone.
You know what? One more thing. Trixie, I think you're a dyke. And Major Nelson, I think you're a douchebag. Microsoft Live, what, Xbox, crap. You suck.
He's very angry.
Yeah, okay, this is a good point. If you ever go on Xbox now, they have Inside Xbox or whatever, and it gives you, like, previews of, like, new games coming out, or it gives you tips on how to get achievements. That's a little video thing they put out, like, once a week, right? It's so badly produced, all of their videos. Like, okay, now I've been doing a lot of thinking about this lately. It's like when people do videos and they try and be funny, but they know it's not funny, but they're trying to act like they're not funny. Like,
Blake Bug is speechless.
It's sort of like, okay, you know when you give your friends a home video cam and you're like, tape my party, and then they film it like this. This is my friend Steve. Say hello, Steve. And they use this like fake phony voice the whole time. Right? That's exactly how these videos are. It's like, oh, we are making an Xbox video. Look at this cool move I just did. Whoa ho, dude, that was gnarly. can you not just do it fucking seriously? Why do you have to act like a clown? And that's another thing. This is a long tirade I'm getting on to. Diablo 3 gameplay trailer. Alright? The trailer itself wasn't bad. Were you watching this with me?
I don't know, probably not.
Look. We're stopping the show so you can see exactly what y'all can listen in. Play along. Okay, my problem, he makes all these jokes, and it's okay to make a joke. Obviously, you're making Diablo 3 trailer. It's okay to make jokes through it. But he says them as if he knows they aren't funny when he's saying them. And it hurts. Like, here, just listen.
It has been our pleasure to give you a first glimpse at Diablo 3. But before we leave you, let's see what a real fight looks like.
Let's see what a real fight looks like. Let's see, is there another one?
You've seen walls of fire, ice, and bone. But have you ever seen a wall of zombies?
Have you ever seen a wall of zombies? You see what I'm talking about? Like, where they kind of have like this phony like it's like a prank they're showing me. So stupid. Why do we even start talking about this? Oh, because it's on those Xbox videos too. I don't know. Yeah, just take this out. I'm just fucking drives me crazy. And maybe it only makes sense to me, but it drives me crazy.
Hello, best damn podcast ever. This is Keyshawn Fellows, and I live in Eugene, Oregon. Accept your challenge. I will be available whenever you call.
Isn't this the same guy?
It's the same guy. He's zealous.
For battle.
Look, we're going to cook one
I'm
up for
you. I'm prepared for any.
But you might not get it now.
Yeah.
I mean, battle can. If you sign up for battle, that's a lifetime pact made in blood. We could call you up on your deathbed with a battle.
All right, here's the next one.
Oh, hey, it's KG. That was me calling about the Microsoft points bullcrap.
You just can't get enough.
I just want to clarify. You know, I think it's retarded that Microsoft is charging you for themes. Like, it costs 100 points to get like a marathon theme, and you know, being the douchebag I am, I actually bought it, and then they want you to buy the gamer pictures for like 10 points. I mean, what why the hell do I need to pay for that crap? It's ridiculous. It you know, if you guys want to talk about that and kind of make fun of it, you know, I think that'd be funny. Okay, thank you very much.
If you guys want to, you know, like talk about that. I think it's funny. No, look, everybody's going to get... Look, you say, like, why would you ever buy... Everybody, when they get an Xbox, you're like, theme? Why would anybody ever buy that? They will get you at least once. You'll be like, ooh, I need that purple theme. So they're going to get you at least once. That's why they're there. And as long as they get you once, if they get everybody once, they've made what? They're like $1.25 each? They've made, you know, $12 million. It's all right. You know, you're gonna have to buy one every now and then. It's not a big deal. All right, now it's time for emails. Okay, this is from Eric S. He says, hey, Blake. This is from Zap Brannigan. Hey, Blake, I've been putting off everything. I've been putting off writing this message for a while, but with my PS3, I got a free copy of Spider-Man 3 on Blu-ray that I didn't want because that movie sucks dick. Okay, it's still in the packaging, so I was wondering if I could send it to you because on an old episode, I remember you saying about giving away the free Blu-ray movies in that Blu-ray player giveaway thing. And also said you had a P.O. box. I'm not sure if you still have this P.O. box, so I thought I'd write you and ask. Maybe I could get more enjoyment out of the movie than it ever will. I can also send you an unwrapped copy of Welcome to the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Network on Blu-ray if you want it. We don't have that P.O. box anymore.
I wish we did.
I could open it back up.
We should open it up. If we open up a P.O. box, will you guys send us stuff?
Yeah, if you guys send, let us, because that's what we never got anything. We like mentioned it in a couple shows, but nobody ever sent anything.
We want treats.
Yeah, if you want to send us treats, let us know. Presents. I'll go reopen the P.O. box. All right, you read this one.
All right, this is from Heather P. He says, love Battle, particularly because I'm friends with the Battle Dorks. I guess he's referring to the ones
last week's
Battle Dorks. Question for you guys. I believe Josh mentioned to me that the original idea was supposed to be a battle between two contestants, sort of like Iron Chef, but Iron Battle. Well, what happened to that? That I would love to hear that and see about battle between the winners or random contestants. Now, we tried to do this once. Lucas, one of our battle, one of the people in the battle upper echelons, was unable to participate, but did so passively. He sort of had a retort. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. That God killer.
The God
video.
Killer, that's right.
So I'll tell you what. If you feel up to the challenge, you put your name in, and you put... I want to battle. I want to co-op battle.
Co-op battle.
Versus battle.
Versus battle. Well, no, you don't do that. We do that.
Okay.
You never, ever, ever get to set any terms with battle, ever. So anyway, if you have any suggestions for different types of battles that you'd like to see, although you will not be, you can't suggest a battle and then do it yourself. We just don't do that. But if you have any ideas, we'd be happy to hear them.
Next email comes from Kevin. He says, hi, guys. Quick review of Metal Gear Solid 4. Any game is good when you punch anyone in the cock. All right. But seriously, it's fun and engaging and some really clever and imaginative with some great ideas. Yeah, it's got its problems. Well, it is Japanese. And they don't know how to tell stories. And if you'd like to game the Metal Gear Solids in the past, you will love this one. Blake and Fick, you guys need to play this one. As long as he doesn't play games, he can sit there watching it, sucking his thumb. I meant to say dick.
That's exactly what I'd be doing.
All right, Metal Gear Solid, we know. Time for other business, show 41. feedback was so fucking lame. I'm pissed at all these white, spotty nerds bitching about No Show. When they get a job and go to school and try and put out a podcast every week, maybe then they can complain. That's right.
That's right.
That's a represent, Kevin.
That's right.
Anyways, Blake, you smart. Fick, you fat. Will rocks.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Kevin S.
Thick Fat is gaining some steam.
I actually think Thick Fat was a 4chan thing or an SA thing. I think somebody posted his like him in his suit on there. That, I don't know. They start calling fat. I don't know. Look, Thick is handsome.
He's a handsome devil.
He's a very handsome man.
All right, what we got next?
We got Webmaster at...
That's something. I don't know who this
is.
Who is
this?
This is from Anonymous.
All right, from Anonymous. Not B Anonymous, but Anonymous. It says, hi, I've only heard the first 6 episodes of your podcast yet, but you guys are really awesome. Keep it up. I've heard you talk about the forums and blogs and stuff, and my question is, do you guys need help with your website? I'm currently studying to become a website creator, and it would be awesome if I could help you or give you my feedback, see what you guys think. Currently working on my own website, aafl.se. Don't look at it, nothing worth it at the moment. But I'll speed things up if you guys would like some help. We're always looking for help. William Miller is tragically bad at completing anything. Because, look, William Miller doesn't do a job on time unless he's getting paid for it. So, you know, as soon as BDPE starts paying my bills, maybe I'll make another website. But look, we've been rolling around ideas for a while now about switching to another content management system, getting some more community building features up there.
If you got the skills to pay the bills, you send us another email.
Send us another email.
If you think you're up for it.
Yeah, send us some email with maybe like a breakdown of your skills and some other websites you've worked on. We'll take a look at it.
Zach Brannigan, who emails and calls at least twice a week, says, hey, fellas, so in episode 41, William was talking about Blu-ray player tape that was adding frames to Pirates of the Caribbean that made it look like it was behind-the-scenes documentary and not the actual film. I can vouch for how dumb stuff like that is. A family friend recently got a big Samsung HDTV, and the default color setting looked too real. By that, I mean exactly what William Miller says with the added frames. The color made it look like one of those behind-the-scenes featurettes, and there's a camera filming the movie. That's dumb. That was a whole paragraph to say William is right.
That's right.
P.S. Blake Pussy Doubler. That's right. Now that is right. I have doubled at least 4 pussies today. All right.
Thomas K. says, Thomas K. here, a Swedish fan that just listened to all the BDP episodes in less than 2 days, nonstop as I was working.
Why would anyone tell us that?
Jesus Christ, dude. I would like to sign up for battle, but not yet. On the 29th of this month, I turn 19 and am 9... That's a comma instead of a period. They do things differently.
In Sweden.
99.9999% sure that I will get a camera for my birthday. And any time from now until the 29th forward, I'm up for battle if that's okay. Also, I don't have a car, but I am going to eat anything involved with pain to prove BDPE has the most badass fan base ever. Anyway, my time zone is GMT plus...
Look, he's giving us all this info, all right? You don't get to pick. You don't get to say, oh, my God, I got a camera. But I'm going to get one. Oh, my God. No.
No.
Do or not do.
Okay. I made a little something also for battle. Hope you guys like it.
Oh, I hadn't seen this.
A what link.
Because I never read these emails until we do the show. I can't wait for this.
Uh-oh. He made a picture. A gold... done.
Oh, wait. Is this the same guy? Because, look, this is hosted on that same site.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, I guess this is the same guy.
Swedish guy.
Swedish guy is the same guy who wants to help with the website. Also, do you take fan art? Because it's like 5 in the morning when I made this pick, and I thought you guys talked about Secretary of Fight, and I love the Lord and USA, and I just had to make a pick.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's not bad. I like that. I like Will Miller, Lord King of USA. Excellent. Now, we had a discussion about this. I'm going to keep this picture. That's pretty good. I like how Fick has little boxing gloves. That's pretty awesome. We had a discussion about this. So, you know how we have the Secretary of Defense and the Department of Defense. We need the Department of Fight and the Secretary of Fight. Now, in the Secretary of the Department of Fight, you open the door, and they're just fighting in there all the time. So if you want them to fight somebody, you just point them in that direction.
and you start, like, fighting that way.
You sort of spill out and start fighting. That is the Department of Fight. That's what the United States needs.
It's kind of hard to get them, like, to fight somebody overseas because they have to fight their way over there.
they have to, like, fight through the ocean.
Beat up fishes.
It might take them a little while to get over there, but Lord knows when they get there. Oh, my.
Or they might take a plane, but they beat up the flight crew.
You got to put the Department of Fight in a big cage to airlift them anywhere. They get a little out of hand.
Clank, 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 clank. Clank, clank that for me.
Save that. I really like the artwork. We love fan art. That's awesome. We'll put that on the site.
Well, maybe we should have a contest for fan art.
That'd be a good idea. You're one of the more artistically talented fans we've run into so far.
Finally, our last email is from our good buddy Lucas, the audio editor of this fine program you are listening to now. The Octomac anniversary is upon us. Let it be known. It looks like he's taken an Octomac and set it in front of a picture of America.
Well, that's not just America, son. That's Patton. Oh. In front of the American flag, standing next to an Octomac. Well done, sir.
Wait, there's another image.
Lucas is eating one.
Okay.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting. Thank you, sir.
So it was exactly a year ago that we came up with the Octomac? Has it been long?
It doesn't seem that long. It doesn't seem that long.
Gosh, wow.
Jeez.
Man, I'm getting old. Oh, speaking of anniversaries, we're coming up on our 50th podcast anniversary for the BDPE. Now, I want our fans to do something very, very special for us. Now, we're not going to look...
It's not the other way. No. We don't do something special for them.
No. What I really want is... We just won't go to the forum. You can make a thread in the forum about it. We won't visit. And y'all plan something special. And as soon as the... That's actually the contest. But that's it. By episode 50, whenever that comes out...
We want our present.
We want our present. There it is.
So go on the forums, work together, pool your money or your resources, whatever you do. We'll be waiting. It's 8 episodes away.
You probably got about 6 months. So. Make it good.
Oh, God. We're the best. Okay, finally, that's the contest. We don't even need to talk about contests now. Let's do a stump real quick. Time for stump.
I don't got a stump.
You got a stump?
I haven't played a game.
Yeah, I don't know if I played. Have I played anything?
No.
No. No stump. All right, well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. William Miller, what do you think about that?
That was pretty good. I'm sorry. We hadn't done one sooner. I was in Baltimore for a little while, and then before that, North Carolina.
With your boyfriend, Sid Meier?
With my boyfriend, Sid Meier. Yeah, me and I was up there for an interview. So, anyway.
Ooh, does that mean your fame's about to change?
Could mean my fame might change.
It's going to change from William Miller, seller of rocks. Isn't that your current job title?
Seller of rocks.
Seller of rocks.
I sell crack rocks.
So, what do we got to say? If you want to send us an email, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call our listener line, 845-BATTLE-9. And we much prefer the listener line because I don't have to read. So, yeah, call us up on the listener line. Donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com if you want to send us some coins. There's also links for that on in the show notes and on the website. We're also waiting on our gift to arrive at the recording of episode 50.
Now listen, I want a physical gift.
I don't want an email from PayPal that says you got $10. No. I want it to be wrapped. Or maybe it could just be an image or something, but get creative.
It's got to be good. I expect 6 months of pay and or work.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'll go set up the P.O. box so you can send me my gift. So next week, we'll have the P.O. box up. Kind of like how next week we'll have the shirts together.
Exactly. That's another contest we're going to run. You can bet on when Blake Bug is going to make shirts.
Is it this week? 100-1 odds.
We'll get our bookie on that.
Also, you got to vote for us at Podcast Alley. It's a website. You go and vote on different podcasts. You vote for us. More people listening. We make more coins. All that good stuff.
I hadn't been there in forever.
So just hit us up. There's links on the website to find all that jazz. Also, we got to thank Lucas, our audio editor, for putting this heat together. Thanks for all you guys sending us emails. We got anything else we need to say?
I think that's about it. Good show, Blake Buck.
So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And we'll see you next time.